Good evening, everyone. This is Steve Sanisero, your state senator here in the 10th District in Bucks County. Welcome to our live telephone town hall this evening. Tonight, our topic of discussion is a timely one. It is about COVID-19 and the vaccines that are being rolled out. To help explain how the vaccines work, who is eligible to be vaccinated at this point, where you can get vaccinated if you are eligible, and what the challenges are that are facing us in getting everyone vaccinated as quickly as possible so that once and for all we can put this pandemic behind us, is a panel of distinguished guests who have kindly taken their time this evening to join us. They are the chair of the Bucks County Board of Commissioners, Diane Ellis Marsaglia, the vice chair of the Board of Commissioners, Bob Harvey, Jim Brexler, the CEO of Doylestown Health, Dr. Scott Levy, the Vice President and Chief Medical Officer at Doylestown Health, Dr. Shari Cohen, a Senior Vice President at the Hepatitis B Foundation, Dr. Tim Block, the President and Co-Founder of the PA Biotechnology Center, Victoria Elliott, the CEO of the Pennsylvania Pharmacists Association, and Robert Frankel, the past President of the Pennsylvania Pharmacists Association and the President of the Sellersville Pharmacy. Thank you all for joining us tonight. We have, of course, many people on the line this evening, and we want to get to as many of your questions as possible over the course of the next hour. To connect to us to ask a question live tonight, you need to press *3 on your phone. We're going to get to your questions in just a moment, and they're going to include, by the way, some questions that we received in advance of this call, but we will be taking live calls. Again, when you press *3, you'll be connected. But before we do that, I just want to give you some general information. First of all, right now, Pennsylvania, outside of the city of Philadelphia, is receiving on average about 143,000 doses of the two vaccines each week. Philadelphia is getting its doses directly from the federal government, as are a number of other large cities throughout the country. Earlier this week, you may have heard the Biden administration announced that it will be purchasing an additional 200 million doses of the vaccines in an effort to speed up the process of vaccination. And of course, there are some other vaccines on the horizon, most notably the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, which has not yet been approved by the FDA, but would be a single-dose vaccine when it is, and we'll be talking about that in just a moment. As I told you, we have tonight two representatives of Bucks County, two of our commissioners, Diane Marsaglia and Bob Harvey. They will be talking about the county's role in the rollout of the vaccines. They have a hotline number, which I'm sure they will repeat, but I'm going to give it to you right now, that you can call for questions, and that number is 1-800-383-0371. Again, 1-800-383-0371. I also want to remind you that I have set up a hub on my website at www.senatorstevesanisero.com/coronavirus, which has a lot of information on this issue and links and resources that you can use as you navigate through this this pandemic generally and specifically with respect to getting vaccines. Before we open the lines tonight, I want to ask our guests if they can just briefly tell us their role, the role of their organizations playing in this process. And then once we go through that, we'll get right to the questions. So let me start with Diane and Bob, if you want to tell us a little bit about what the county is doing.
Bob, why don't you start, and then I'll remember anything you don't remember.
Well, thank you, Senator Sinicero, and I thank everybody else, all the other panelists for being on here and for all the work they're doing, and thank everybody who's who's joining our call. We do know that there is a lot of information out there about the vaccines, and we do know there's a lot of concern. There's a lot of anxiety. We've all been dealing with this virus for a year now, and we're all well past the point where we are ready to move on with our lives and get back to normal. So all of us want the vaccine as soon as we can. The problem we have here and across the country is that the supply of vaccines simply does not meet the needs. We as a county are getting about 2,000 doses a week. And we have up to now, in Bucks County, roughly 30,000 doses of the vaccine have been given out. Most of those have been going through the hospitals. The original goal, of course, was for hospitals to get the lion's share of these vaccines and to vaccinate their staff and affiliated healthcare practices and some unaffiliated healthcare practices. That is being done. And also what we see is that EMTs and first responders are also getting doses. That's being handled by the county and in some cases by the by hospitals, and the county is also administering vaccine to people who are in unaffiliated healthcare practices. The county does have a clinic in Langhorne and Middletown Township, actually, and that is for healthcare workers. We are planning to open more vaccine clinics. That would be at the three community college campuses, but we cannot really do that until we have enough vaccine. It is frustrating for us. We know it's frustrating for you. I know Steve Sinisero did give out the phone number. We are encouraging people to take a look at the website as well, buckscounty.org. And there are buttons there for coronavirus information. There's a button there for vaccine information, for testing locations, as well as information about economic resources for those who may be business owners and also those looking for work. So I'll let Commissioner Marseglia add anything else she wants to add.
I actually think you probably got everything, but I would encourage the public to just, in your patience, know that we are ready to go. As soon as the vaccines are on their way, we have the staff ready, we have the places ready, the community colleges, we have a few other places identified. We will even do some strike teams, go out to some places once we get the vaccine. So there will be no delay once we actually get that. And again, as Commissioner Harvey said, if you can go on our website and pre-register there, that way we'll be able to let you know when the vaccines are coming and that it's time for you to schedule an appointment. And we really all thank you very much for your patience. This is a very difficult time. It seems like we're at the end, but we're just not quite there yet. But thank you. And thank you, Senator Sanasara, for doing this as well. This is a great way to get the information out to everybody.
Well, thank you both, and thank you for your leadership and what the county's doing. It's great to know that when those vaccines arrive, we're going to be ready to go. Next, I'd like to turn to Jim Brexler and Dr. Scott Levy of Doylestown Health.
Thank you, Senator. This is Jim Brexler. I'm President and CEO of Doylestown Health. I'm also the Vice Chair of the Bucks County Health Improvement Partnership, which is all of the hospitals of Bucks County, along with the Health Department. And we have collectively been working to plan and coordinate as much as we can in the fight to care for COVID patients, and then now the vaccine distribution. I'll tell you that we have been very active in trying to get vaccine that we receive out and into arms, so to speak. I have to reinforce Commissioner Harvey's comment, and probably all of us will say this on the call. The supply of vaccine is not nearly sufficient to meet the demand, but we are doing it in a stratified way to get to a variety of individuals that is designed by the CDC and by the state in terms of their priority orders, including our healthcare workers, nursing home folks, allied health folks, nursing home patients, EMS, and both affiliated and non-affiliated providers in our region. And we have to date vaccinated close to 11,000. We've given 11,000 doses out of the 30,000 that the county has received. So we have been very active. As we get doses, we get them out as fast as possible. As of today, we now have two sites, and we are administering. We have 17 vaccinators in the two sites that are working, but they are working on a list generated by our by physicians who are stratifying their patients and taking the higher risk patients and sending them to us so we can get them vaccinated first, and then continue down that list until our goal is to vaccinate as many people as possible.
Great.
Scott, do you want to add to that?
Thank you. It's important to note that we've actually seen a dramatic improvement in the trend recently, both in Bucks County and the state, with a 40% reduction in new cases. And despite all the anxiety about the vaccine, the good news is that sometime this week, we're going to probably have more people in this country vaccinated than who've had gotten the infection since day one of this pandemic. So that's an important milestone. Doylestown Health, as Jim indicated from the very beginning, has really made it a requirement and a real expectation to get as many doses and arm as possible. We really were very aggressive with healthcare workers, not only within our organization, but despite this Department of Health's requirement that 10% of vaccines be given to non-affiliated healthcare providers, over 50% of the doses we gave to healthcare providers were in fact folks who had no affiliation to the Doylestown Health System, going throughout a multiple zip code area in an effort to try to get as many people vaccinated as possible. Now with the extended 1A, as Jim indicated, it's really critical to get shots in arm and to do that in a public health way to get the people with the highest risk first. So we really created a very rigorous risk stratification to be sure that the patients we get it are not just people who qualify for 1A, but the really sickest patients, people who have transplants, immune compromised situations, very severe coronary disease, diabetes, to really do everything we can to reduce hospitalizations and deaths.
Thank you. Thank you very much for that, Dr. Levy. I want to turn next to Victoria Elliott and Bob Frankel, if you could just briefly tell us the role that the pharmacies are playing.
Rob, do you want me to start that?
Yeah,
no problem. So thank you again, Senator, for the opportunity. So to everyone on the line, good evening. My name is Victoria Elliott, and I am, as Senator said, CEO for the Pennsylvania Pharmacists Association. We represent pharmacists across the Commonwealth, working in a variety of settings, including community pharmacies, where a lot of you may end up obtaining your vaccine. And so the role of our pharmacies is several in regards to the vaccine rollout. There are many that are affiliated with the long-term care facilities, which, as others on the call have pointed out, remain one of the primary focus of the early rollout to get those residents vaccinated as quickly as possible, considering they are some of the most vulnerable. And so those pharmacies work closely with those facilities when they have vaccine to get patients in those settings and the staff there vaccinated. Those pharmacies and others are also now signed up to participate as a vaccine provider as we continue through the phases. And some have had the opportunity throughout the Commonwealth and including in the local area to vaccinate some of our own constituents. And that, again, they are working to prioritize those that are in the approved phase at this point, that is phase 1A. And so those pharmacies are equipped both with the personal protective equipment, the vaccine, all the pharmacists and others in the pharmacy that are administering vaccine have gone through appropriate training as required by our State Board of Pharmacy, and often have online registration opportunities for you to sign up for an appointment or at least get into a queue so that when it is your turn, you'll be notified to receive your vaccine. Rob, would you like to add anything?
Yeah, just want to mention that the community pharmacies across the county stand ready, eager, and willing to give as many vaccines to patients as possible. As the common theme here is that it's a supply and demand issue. There's more demand than supply. The demand is trickling down to pharmacies, and you know, as soon as we get it, we inject it. And these pharmacies have very, very long waiting lists. And it's just a matter of getting the vaccine to the pharmacies to satisfy those waiting lists and getting the shots in the arms. But community pharmacies are ready, staffed, eager, trained, et cetera, to get going. We just need more vaccine to get to us.
Great. Well, thank you both. I'm actually going to start with some questions now, and I'm going to turn to Dr. Tim Block and Dr. Sherry Cohen to take the first one because I think it's in their bailiwick. There are right now two vaccines, the Pfizer and the Moderna vaccines. They both require a second dose. Can you tell us what, is there much of a difference between the two of them?
Thank you, Senator. This is Tim Block. Again, I'm president of the Pennsylvania Biotech Center and the Blumberg Institute that runs the two nonprofits, and I'm a virologist and scientist. The two vaccines that have been approved for use, Moderna and Pfizer, are what are called messenger RNA vaccines. Messenger RNA is a molecule that causes the production of proteins, and in this case, you dial in the proteins of the coronavirus spike protein. So when you get inoculated with these messenger RNA vaccines, you produce antibodies and an immune response, cellular immune response to the coronavirus, and then you become protected. They're very, very similar. Their wrapping molecules are both these lipid particles. They differ in that regard a little bit, and in that sense require different freezing levels. But otherwise, they seem to be very, very similar. They are very similar in terms of their molecular makeup, and they seem to be very, very equivalent in terms of the protection they induce. And the other vaccines out there are coming online. And what a triumph of science this was to have this all done in less than a year. The other vaccines coming online are either vaccines in which are single dose and you get injected with a virus, another common cold virus, an adenovirus that has in it coronavirus proteins that are induced, or are either what are called subunit purified protein vaccines. That would be more like the Novavax. Dr. Cohen, did you want to add anything? Because I know you were learning something just about the J&J vaccine.
Yeah, sure. Dr. Black, thank you very much. So one of the other things, and I know we've been getting a lot of questions, I am with the Hepatitis B Foundation, of course, and the Pennsylvania Biotechnology Center, but also work with the Bucks County Immunization Coalition. We're getting questions about the mRNA vaccines and, you know, the potential hesitancy because they're new. The platforms for these mRNA vaccines actually aren't that new. They've been working on mRNA treatments and vaccine platforms since 1991. So they've actually been around a while. It's just that we've had the opportunity to push through with an influx of funding, priority, and support for the last year, which is, as Tim said, as Dr. Block said, it's a triumph, and we've been able to get them. They are very effective. In some ways, they're 5 to 20 times better than regular vaccine platforms that we've seen in terms of how well they boost immunity. They have very strong safety profiles, this is a question we get a lot, the mRNA in the vaccines never integrates into the nucleus of the person, so you can't get coronavirus from the vaccines, and they do not change a person's genetic profile at all. As soon as they're done, they basically disappear in the body.
Well, that is a comfort. I want my nuclei preserved. Thank you very much. So that's good. Thank you both for that. We're going to be coming back to you with other technical questions about the vaccines. But now let's turn to the phone lines. Again, star three is how you connect directly to us tonight to ask a question of one of our panelists about everything you want to know about the vaccination program that's currently underway. Again, star three to be connected to us tonight. Do we have anyone on the line right now? We have Barry in Newtown. Barry, are you on the line?
Yes. Could you hear me?
Yes, I sure can. Go ahead, Barry. Ask your question.
Well, how are you? Last time I saw you in person, I was on the Bucks County Courier Times editorial board with Guy.
Okay. Well, so it's a while back.
When you were running for your first office, way back when.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Okay. I'm just concerned, since I'm a senior now, and there's a lot of friends of mine are seniors, we would prefer if we could obtain the vaccine at a convenient CVS pharmacy or a Rite Aid pharmacy, which they seem to be plentiful in the Newtown, Langhorne area. In fact, they're all over the place,
right?
I can see. On street roads, you name it, they're there. And is that in the plan?
Well, let me talk to let's bring on Victoria first. Victoria, do you want to answer that, and then maybe Diane or Bob, you can follow up.
So sure, I will do my best to do that. The CVS and Walgreens pharmacies in particular were entered into an agreement with the Department of Health to focus on getting vaccine out to long-term care facilities. That's who Pennsylvania, a lot of other states decided to partner with to try and get as much vaccine out to their facilities as possible in the quickest amount of time. Whether or not, you know, they are actually holding up or standing up, as we say, clinics now in any area, including here in Bucks County, is pretty much up to the individual pharmacy and whether or not they've got vaccine on hand to do that. That being said, there, as I said, there are some, you know, other pharmacies beyond the big ones that we're most familiar with and the community pharmacies with whom Rob and I work that are also receiving vaccine or planning to receive it are notifying their local communities of that and working to set up ways that you can all register to obtain vaccine. You know, as we said, we've heard the numbers here about how much vaccine is coming into the state, and as been pointed out, most of that's going to the hospitals first, and then with their affiliated entities, whether it's physician practices, some of these aggregate care facilities, nursing homes, et cetera, and then trying to get out to the public. So I think that I would also ask our folks from Doylestown to talk about, you know, whether or not they're going to be, you know, in a position anytime soon to make vaccine available, and ask Rob Frankel from the pharmacy owner perspective if he has any other insights on what's happening with some of these pharmacies.
Yeah, Rob here. Just, you know, if the pharmacies would be able to get their hands on some vaccine, they certainly would have clinics. But right now, all the pharmacies are just inundated with phone calls and lists that they have already created, waiting lists for people who want vaccine. So, I mean, as soon as they get it, it's going to be gobbled up rather quickly. To reiterate, it's just a supply and demand issue. We just need more out there. And clinics will certainly be set up if there was vaccine and if there was enough vaccine to hold clinics. But right now, these pharmacies across the county have very, very long waiting lists and very, very little vaccine. So, you know, my recommendation would be to call your local pharmacy. Don't make phone calls to 10 pharmacies. Just call your local one and get on a waiting list there. And when they have vaccine, you'll get a call.
And then the other option, of course, is to register through the county site as well. And when those, what Bob and Diane talked about earlier, having the county clinic set up once we have the dosages coming in, that will be another avenue. Let me go back to the phones. Star 3 is how you connect with us tonight, and we have Lois from Yardley on the line. Lois, go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for taking my question.
Sure.
A lot of us are old, over 75, and of course we want everybody that's directly in danger to be have access to the vaccine first, but for the rest of us, does it make sense to register at every single place you can register? The county, Lower Bucks Hospital, St. Mary's, St. Luke's. Is there no way to centralize this so that we're not fending for ourselves out there on the internet trying to find ourselves an appointment?
Well, it's a great question, Lois, and it is a frustration that people are having. You know, we are hearing, obviously, the main issue and the theme you're going to hear over and over again this evening is the fact that the main problem we face right now is just the supply problem. And hopefully in the coming weeks and months, that will start to ease up a bit as the new vaccines become available and the pharmaceutical companies ramp up production. But that is a good point, and it's something I personally think that we should have a central portal for people to be able to register and then be able to be assigned to a location to get the vaccine. That does not exist on a statewide basis right now, but again, the county has a place where you can register. Bob, Diane, do you want to just remind folks about that?
Sure. It's if you go on buckscounty.org, which is the main page for the county website, you will see a number of buttons on the right there on the, as soon as you flip it on. One will be COVID-19 information page, which will have all kinds of statistics about the virus. And then there's a vaccine information button, and that's where you can actually register. You can pre-register, I should say. And once you've pre-registered, we have the ability to sort people. We have about 200,000 people registered on that site so far, but the data that you're entering, we're able to sort by things like age or by a medical condition. And so once we start getting vaccine, we'll be able to take that information and create essentially a priority list of people that we can then make sure that we're helping the people who are most in need.
Great. Thank you, Bob. Again, star 3 to connect with us this evening. Star 3 will connect you live to our panel this evening. Next, we have Doris from Levittown. Doris, you're on the line. Go ahead.
Thank you, Steve. I have a couple questions. I went to CVS on New Falls Road about 3 weeks ago and to try to register. They wouldn't take my name. They said that they didn't know when they were getting it. It would probably be sometime after July. So I walked away. I registered with Doylestown through my primary. I registered at St. Mary's, and I registered at Bucks County. I do have heart disease, and my doctor doesn't want me working until I get vaccinated, so I can't go back to my part-time job because it's working with the public. Now, once I get that first shot, am I clear enough to go to work? Or do I have to wait the 23 days for the second shot? And if so, do I go back to the same place that I got the first shot?
I believe the answer to the second question is yes, you will go back to where you got the shot. Hopefully they will schedule that when you go in to actually get it. But let me ask one of the doctors on the line.
Yes.
I don't know if you... Go ahead.
Yeah, this is Scott Levy. So absolutely, the shots should be registered for the second dose at the time that you schedule, that you have your first dose administered. And it's very important that you have both shots done before you consider yourself really protected. These vaccines, as are presently available, provide about 95% protection. To give you an idea, a good flu vaccine will be somewhere between 40 and 60% protective, according to the CDC. So these are much, much better vaccines. However, it's good to wait 2 weeks after the second dose until you have a good immune response and you could feel confident that you're pretty well protected. You should still be wearing a mask and doing social distancing as much as possible until there's really a good amount of herd immunity and there's a really large number of people in. You also brought up a very important point about your risk factors, and it's very critical in what we're trying to do at Doylestown, and you indicated that you have a primary care doc at Doylestown. So you are already registered in our system. The primary care docs at Doylestown are risk stratifying all the patients. And again, as you've heard every member state, the big challenge we have right now is vaccine dose. We've got notification that our vaccine allocation for next week is less than 50% of what it had been last week. And the week after that, there's no commitment whatsoever. So we're really working very hard to assure that the sickest patients get through the door first. And given your situation, when we reach that point in the risk stratification, you will be contacted directly.
That's great, Dr. Levy. I appreciate that. And before I go back to the phones, I'm going to ask a question of Tim Block and Sherry Cohen. This was one of the questions we got ahead of time, and that is, do the current vaccines protect from the variant strands, those variants that we've been hearing about either from England or South Africa or even one from Brazil, I believe, most of which have been identified here in the United States, perhaps not the South African variant yet?
Thank you. I'll take it as Tim Block, and then perhaps Sherry will have something to say. It is believed that the current vaccines would offer protection against the two variants that you mentioned. That isn't known formally yet, but experimentally in laboratory settings, they were able to show the antibodies raised against the Moderna vaccine and the Pfizer vaccine will protect. That was put online in a report and will be published. There's another variant in Brazil called the P1 variant that's emerging, and information about that isn't yet known. This is a big concern, however, even that variant, the P1 variant, seems to be similar enough to the South African variant that protection is expected, although it is worth saying that the antibodies raised against the vaccine made in us against when we get the Moderna and Pfizer vaccines are not quite as potent against the variants as they are against the current strains. Sure, did you want to add, or Dr. Levy, to that?
Yeah, no, thanks, Dr. Block. Just two things. One is, one thing to remember about the platforms for the mRNA vaccines is that they're fairly easily adjustable for new strains. That doesn't mean it wouldn't take time to roll them out, but that does mean that as new strains emerge, vaccines can be created to offer more robust protection over time with booster doses, perhaps. And the other thing to remember is, you know, the new variants were expected and will be expected. I think that just lends itself to masking, social distancing, and the less the vaccine is circulating, the less you're going to have these mutations.
Okay, great. Well, thank you both very much. We're going to go back to the phone lines now. Again, it's *3 to be connected live with us this evening to ask our panel any question you have regarding the COVID-19 vaccines. We have Barbara from New Britain on the line. Barbara?
Hi, how are you?
I'm well. How about you?
Well, I'm good. I just have a few questions. First of all, I'm so glad I live here near Doylestown Health because I had an aortic valve replacement last July. And I'm feeling really good, but I was concerned that, you know, I'm 77, my husband is 84, we have a adult son, 45, who has autism and heart problems. So I did register all three of us, because my concern is, first off, we are his only caretaker. So if something were to happen to one of us, and, you know, then who takes care of him, or he could never be in a hospital, it's just a lot of things. But when I see that, you know, all of a sudden we have smokers as being first, and I heard somebody on the radio who's 28 who said he went over to Jersey to get it. I have people that I know that are going to New Jersey to get the vaccine, and I'm not understanding all of this. How, you know, you can go to another state with your, and we have the best of care here, and I'm willing to wait, but I just wanted some kind of, like, what would the timeline be, like 3 months, 5 months? It's just so in our heads we know.
Well, and have you registered?
I only registered with Bucks County because I'm not running. You know, I don't want to bother my physician. I don't want to bother the pharmacies. You know, we get, and I'm willing to wait. We get it when we get it.
You don't be afraid about bothering people. Okay. I mean, in your age group and your husband's age group, and given, you know, the issues with your son, I think you're certainly entitled to be at the top of the front of the line to get a vaccination. Did I hear someone who's wanted to?
Senator, this is Jim Brexler. I was just going to say, I think thank you for your call. And just know that you are, without even calling, you are, if you have a physician that's anywhere in our network, not just primary care, but any physician where we know your medical history, those physicians are in the process of stratifying. You're already registered. You don't even need to call. You're already registered. And that's the first group we're trying to get to in the broader population, because we have information that we can register you and report up. What is not completely understood is that any of us that vaccinate have to have a significant reporting responsibility every time we vaccinate back to the state. And we are all under the control of the state criteria as to who we can and who we cannot vaccinate. So we're doing everything we can within those guidelines and within the limitations of the vaccine provided. But that's one area that I think maybe I can put you a little bit at ease, in that you actually are double registered now. If you're registered with the county, that's fine. But you're also in your physician's practice. You are already registered, probably you and your husband, I would guess, and maybe even your son.
Thank you very much for that, Jim. Appreciate that. And Barbara, thank you for the call. And what I'll say again is, you know, by all means, pursue these things. Don't feel shy about it. And as far as whether you could get vaccinated in, say, another state like New Jersey, a lot of that depends on what the rules are in those other states. You know, for just a recap of the different phases and who is in each of those buckets, those phases that have been set out, phase 1A, 1B, 1C, and 2, you can go to a lot of different sources, but certainly to my website, SenatorSteveSanicero.com/coronavirus, and we have that right on that landing page. Of course, they've expanded who's in the first phase now, and that, of course, is a little bit of a challenge because, you know, the supply is not yet there. It wasn't there for how it was defined earlier. So now having more people eligible means that there's even a greater demand. But, you know, as you just heard from Jim Brexler, you know, many of our local providers are really working overtime, as is the county, to try to get as many people vaccinated as quickly as possible. Again, star 3 to get on the line tonight, star 3, and we have Linda from Newtown. Linda, you're live. Go ahead.
Hello?
Yes. Hi, Linda. Go ahead. Ask your question.
Hi. It's Linda Brown from Bensalem. How are you?
Oh, okay. Linda, how are you?
I just wanted to say hello first, and then I'll ask my question.
Linda's one of my former colleagues at Bensalem High School, so it's
correct.
It's good
correct.
To hear you.
And my mock trial helper.
Yeah.
I am with the Doylestown Health physician. I am over 70. I have diabetes, and I was told from the office that I wouldn't have to do anything, that it will all be taken care of through them or the hospital. I just want to check that that's correct, and like, am I talking 2 weeks? Am I talking a month? I'm sort of looking at timing more than anything.
Jim, do you want to take that?
Sure, and I wish I could give you a timeline. If we got a bolus of vaccine, it would be tomorrow. We are working our way through as fast as we can as vaccine is available. I'm actually going to punt this to Dr. Levy because the stratification process and the notification process, the doctors all understand, but you are registered, and given what you just described, you would likely fall into a risk category that I would think would be pretty high up in the priority order. But Scott, do you want to comment
yes.
on that?
Yes, sure. Thank you very much. Yes, as you indicated, having any physician within the Doylestown system that allows us to have your medical record on our comprehensive network solution, and we have computer analyzed every individual to risk stratify them. And then on top of that, every physician is going through that list and making amendments and adjusting it accordingly and reaching out. So what I could assure you is that when it's your time, you will be contacted directly from the practice, and you will be able on that one phone call to be scheduled for an appointment. All your demographics that are required will automatically be interfaced, be sent up to the CDC and the Department of Health, which is the requirement, which is allowing us to get more people through the process because we don't have to spend 10 or 15 minutes doing all that registration process. But I could assure you, you're in our system, and if you have multiple physicians, you're on every physician within our system's list, and you might reach one before the other. We've had several patients who are high risk who got calls from multiple physician offices in the same week. For the 1A, given the number of patients we have, which is about 35,000, as Jim indicated, we got 10,000 vaccines to date. Many of them have gone to first responders and people in healthcare. We're expecting it to be somewhere in the next 4 to 8 weeks to get through that, assuming that we get a reasonable distribution of vaccine as we've been told.
Great. Thank you very much, Dr. Levy, and I hope that answers your questions, Linda, and stay well. It's good to hear from you. Next on the line, we have Michael from Percocy. Michael, you're on the line.
Yes. I had a question about Merck recently had their two vaccines fail, so basically they canceled. Are we going to be reaching out to them or any of the other generic drug manufacturers through the Defense Production Act in order to see if we can have them help make more vaccine faster?
It's a great question, Michael. Thank you. And I'm going to turn it over to Dr. Block and Dr. Cohen in just a minute about that. But I do note that I believe I read an article yesterday that the firm Sanofi is doing that with the Pfizer vaccine in Europe, if I'm not mistaken. But Tim Block, do you want to take that or Sherry?
Perhaps Sherry has a thought on it. I really don't know. I think it's a great idea. I don't really know how that works. It was very disappointing about the vaccine failure, but I'm so glad there are many other vaccine products online. Sherry, do you know anything about that?
I haven't heard specifically, but you know what? It's something that we should look into and just ask around. That is a great idea.
Yeah, as I said, I think I read that it's being done in Europe now, and it is something that people are calling for the federal government to make happen here. And it certainly is kind of analogous to, you know, during the beginning of World War II when we had, defense production do things like have General Motors manufacture torpedo bombers instead of trucks and cars, and turned over a lot of that process. And that's something obviously...
I would just say that the production of the mRNA vaccines are probably different than the vaccine that the virus vaccine that Merck was making, but I still think it's a good idea.
Right, and they would have the ability to manufacture it if they, you know, with cooperation, which is something I would think at this point, given the public health crisis and the dimensions of it, the pharmaceutical industry should be doing. Well, thank you for that, Michael. We are going to go next to Diane from Doylestown, but before we do, I just want to remind everyone, *3 on your phone to be connected live. Diane, you're on the line. Go ahead.
Hi, thank you for hosting this event, very informative. Question on the vaccines, the length of the durability of it, is this a once and done, or is it something that is going to then be in the rat race again 12 months from now?
Great question. Shari or Tim, do you want to take that?
Yeah, so, sure. I mean, it's hard to know exactly, but it probably will be something that we will have to either get vaccinated for every year, every other year, or get booster doses. So yeah, it's probably not going to be once and done. At least that's what the data seem to be showing right now.
Great. Thanks very much for that question, Diane, and for the information, Shari. I'm going to go back momentarily to one of the questions we received ahead of time, and that is I'm going to direct this to either Bob Harvey or Diane Ellis-Marsaglia. If someone has registered with the county, what do they do? They're waiting for a contact back from the county when doses are available, I take it? Will they be contacted directly by the county once they register?
The county will let them know as soon as they've come in. They may have gotten something today letting them know that they were pre-registered and we're just confirming that. If not, they should get that tomorrow. But as soon as we get them, we will start to let people know by both text and email.
Okay, great. That's great. All right, let's go back then to the phone lines. *3 is how you connect to us this evening. *3. And we have Aparna from Doylestown. Aparna, you're on the line. Go ahead.
Hi, how are you?
Well, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, good. My mother is 76 years old. She's not a citizen, but she's a green card holder. So does she get the vaccine?
Absolutely. She's 76. She's in that risk group, and she should be vaccinated. Have you tried to register her either through the county or one of the other providers?
Yeah, we did register her, too.
Yep, absolutely. Well, that's good. Did you register through the county?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then, as Commissioner Marsaglia just said, you will be getting a response from them as soon as they have doses ready for your mom.
Oh, okay. And I have one more question for you.
Sure.
I'm planning to, we all registered, like our family. I am planning to go to India in July. If they call our number in between, if I am not there, when I come back, I'm coming back in August, end of August. If they already called, like in between July to August, if I am not there, when I come back, do I get, I'll go to the end of the list, or do I get, like, how does it work?
Well, I'll turn it over to Bob and Diane in just a moment about that as far as how the county is doing it. Hopefully by the summertime we're going to have many more doses available, and that if you do miss it because you go abroad and then come back, you won't have to wait too long to get your vaccination by that point. Most of the experts are saying, including I heard Dr. Fauci this morning say, that they're estimating that by the end of the summer, something like 75% of the country should be vaccinated by that point. So hopefully that won't be an issue. Now, you may need, of course, to quarantine when you come back, since you'll be traveling abroad first. But I'll throw it open to either the commissioners or anyone else on the line who might want to respond.
Yeah, this is Dr. Levy. I think you brought up an important point about the timing of the vaccine. So when you get called, that means your prioritization has been reached. There are people who, for many reasons, need to delay a vaccine, whether they're getting another vaccination at the same time or they have another medical issue. And the important thing is to do it at the right time, because if it's not, there's a chance your body may not develop the antibody response, the immune response that we want. So delaying it when appropriate medically, or in a situation like this when you're not available, certainly results in the ability for you to get a vaccine when the timing is appropriate. We want to make sure people don't go and get the vaccine when it's not appropriate or when they're not available, obviously.
Thank you, Dr. Levy. And Bob and Diane, I'm assuming that, you know, since we are far away from that point now, it's hard to say whether there would be a wait upon her return at this point, since we don't know, you know, exactly how many doses the county or anyone else is going to have at that point.
No, that's right, Stephen. I think your initial response was the right one. Certainly, we hope, and listening to the experts like Dr. Fauci, we believe that, you know, by the time we get to late summer, you know, July and August time period, there will be enough that you'll be able to go to your family doctor or to a pharmacy. And so I wouldn't worry as much about that. Although I think the call did bring up something that I should have said earlier. So I want to thank the caller for reminding me. We are encouraging people to use the website buckscounty.org and the vaccine information pre-registration button as much as they can. We know it's not ideal for some people just because they don't have access to the computer, or you just aren't able to do it. It's not really their thing. But our phone lines are really getting pretty heavily swamped, and so we are encouraging people to use the website when they can. And that would also include, for example, registering parents or family members, or even a neighbor, if you can do it for them. And certainly, I know in my family, we have some family members who, weren't able to do it themselves. And so, you know, other members of the family are sort of registering them and then putting down their own phone numbers for contact, because they're the ones who are going to take that elderly relative to get the vaccine anyway. So you're able to do that, for someone, whether it's a relative or friend or whoever you want, you're able to do that as well.
That's a really great point. Thanks for raising that, because it, obviously a lot of the online interface with this stuff is something that's a challenge, especially for an older person. So being able to help someone in that spot is really important. I shared with some of you ahead of time, my wife did that for our 83-year-old, my 83-year-old mother-in-law, her mom, in Queens. Unfortunately, she got a spot, but when she got there the day to get her inoculation, she did not have a form that they required, and they didn't have a form to give her there, and they refused to inoculate her, which is absurd, and I hope that's something that never happens in Pennsylvania for an elderly person or anyone else who clearly should be getting an inoculation. Again, star three is how you connect with us this evening. We still have about another 7 or 8 minutes on our call tonight, and we have Barb in Piperville. Barb, you're on the line.
Hi, everybody. Thank you for doing this.
Sure.
Rose actually asked my question about being scheduled for your second shot if Ren were fortunate enough to get her first one. But my question is this. I thought of it as I was listening to her. Are we assured that, let's say we get the Pfizer for the first one, that we'll get Pfizer for the second one? Like, let's say there's a whole slew of Pfizer, but then when comes time for your booster, they only have Moderna. I'm assuming it has to be compatible with your first shot.
Yeah, that's my understanding, but let me turn to the experts.
I know it's not, you know, nobody has a crystal ball, but
sure.
It just popped into my head, and I thought I would see if there was any, you know, information about that.
No, it's a great question. I mean, I know that there are different time frames for each of them. I might get this backward, but I think Moderna is supposed to be given within 3 weeks of the first shot, and Pfizer within four. Or is it the other way around?
It's the other way around. Pfizer is at 20. Pfizer is at 21 days.
Okay.
Moderna is at 28. The CDC has just this week come up with a statement that you could wait up to 42 days with the thinking that it really won't have any real impact on the overall efficacy. Places that give vaccines, and I can certainly speak for Doylestown, there's a huge effort to make sure that there's a second vaccine available at the timely period of time for the second dose to be the same brand as the first dose, which is the recommendation that you don't mix different brands between the two doses.
And that is a recommendation from the CDC that not happen, Dr. Levy?
That is true. Correct.
Great. Thank you. Great. Well, again, *3 to connect live to us tonight. And next we have Shelley from Doylestown. Shelley, you're on the line. Go ahead.
Hi. I just want to thank everybody for doing this. My question has been answered, so I'll pass it to the next guy. Thank you.
Okay. Terrific. Thank you, Shelley. That's very generous.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Take care. Okay, again, *3 to be connected directly to us tonight to ask our panel any question you might have with respect to the vaccination for COVID-19. Okay, so there's a question we received ahead of time. Do I need proof of a medical condition, like a doctor's note, if I fall into one of the early categories for COVID-19? And the answer to that question is no. We are going on an honor system here in Pennsylvania, so that if you register that you have a medical condition that would qualify you from one of the early stages, that is sufficient. So again, *3 to connect to this evening to our phone line to ask questions about the vaccination program. We have Ellen from Newtown on the line. Ellen, go ahead.
Hi, Steve. How are you?
I'm well.
Thanks for doing this meeting.
You're welcome.
It's great for everybody to be able to hear everything. I have a couple questions. My first question is, when will all the healthcare providers and first responders being done getting vaccinated? Because it seems like everywhere I call or everybody I speak to, it seems like the first responders, and I understand that, believe me, I do. It breaks my heart to see them every day, but I just want to know about when we can expect our vaccines. I'm 70 years old. My husband's 71 with a heart condition, and my son is 46 with a heart condition. And we've all signed up on the Bucks County website, and we've signed up, I can't tell you how many places. I've called pharmacies. They've told me that they have wait lists of 2,500 people. They're only getting 100 vaccines, and then they need to save some for the people that they've already given the first dose to. So it seems like, and now I'm listening to the people from Doylestown Hospital speak, and it sounds like they're only going to be taking their own patients. My doctors are at Jefferson, and I haven't heard really anything from them whether they're going to be doing the same thing. So I'm not sure, like, where I stand now in this whole situation.
Sure. And you've registered through the county site?
I did.
You? Okay.
Yes. I did. I had appointments up in Bethlehem. I had appointments over at the Wood Services, and then they canceled us, saying it was only for medical providers at the Wood Services. And then in Bensound, we were told that we had appointments and everything set up. They said we couldn't come there because we're not part of that county. So they're not taking anybody out of county up there. I don't know. I've called and I sent emails. Once the map came up with all the dots on it, I sent emails to everybody on that map, and I haven't heard from one person yet.
Okay. Well, again, and I'm going to turn it to our panelists in just a second, Ellen. But one of the problems, of course, as you've heard over the course of our discussion this evening, is that the supply is still pretty low, and everyone is struggling to make do with what we have to try to get to as many folks as possible. But let me turn it to our county commissioners to see where the county is in terms of its starting to inoculate others beyond the first responders.
Hi, it's Diane Marseglia. You know, we're about getting to the end of the first responders. There's thousands and thousands of first responders, but we do need to get some of them in for their second shot now. So that's, you know, again, the problem. It's not just the first shot, it's the second. I think by next week we should be able to begin with what are called unaffiliated providers, people who are not associated with the hospital, but they provide a medical service. My guess is that we should be able to start getting into to some of the 1A people beyond first responders. And Bob can second guess this too, but I would think within the next 3 weeks, assuming supply comes. And it will be slow because, you know, we're only getting 2,000 a week. And if people need two shots, that's really just 1,000 people we can take. But we are prepared. Once this gets rolling, we can do 5,000 a day.
Which is amazing.
Supply.
Yeah, that's amazing. I mean, and the fact that you guys have coordinated that and you're ready to go once we have the dosages is really terrific. So thank you for that. We are getting about to the end of our hour tonight. So I want to conclude with first of all thanking all of our panelists tonight for taking the time to be with us. Everyone is really doing yeoman's work to try to get as many people inoculated as possible. I know we're all frustrated, and we're all frustrated because of the lack of supply. You know, this was always going to be something that would take time to ramp up. But I think what you're hearing, at least here in Bucks County and our part of Pennsylvania, that we have both county government, hospitals, pharmacies, and other providers that are really working overtime to put the infrastructure together and the system together to get people inoculated as those vaccines come in. And hopefully in the coming months we'll see more coming from the federal government and keeping our fingers crossed, of course, that the Johnson & Johnson vaccine is approved and has a relatively high efficacy rate as well. If you were not able to ask a question tonight and you were on the line, please wait. When we're done, you can remain on the line and leave a question. We will get to those questions that you leave on our voicemail in the coming days, and we are committed to doing that, so we don't want anyone to come away tonight without having your question responded to. But again, I really want to thank Diane Marseglia, Bob Harvey, Jim Brexler, Dr. Scott Levy, Dr. Shari Cohen, Dr. Tim Block, Victoria Elliott, and Rob Franklin for taking the time tonight to be with us and to answer these really important questions. I want to remind everyone in the meantime, before you get vaccinated, and even after, you got to continue to wear masks. You have to practice social distancing. The numbers, the infection rates are starting to come down post the holiday season, but we all play a role in making sure that we halt the spread of this virus, or at least arrest the spread of the virus further so that we can save as many lives as possible before we get a broader vaccination of the public. Thank you all. If you have any further questions, you can always reach my office at 215-497-9490. Again, 215-497-9490. And again, my website, SenatorSteveSantaciro/coronavirus, is a place where you can get a bunch of information about this topic. And you can also go, as Commissioner Harvey noted earlier, to buckscounty.org to get up-to-date information from the county and also to register. Thank you all very much, and please stay safe. Good night, everyone.